So hello, I'm here with John Null, Chief Creative Officer at ILM, that usually we don't introduce any longer, but though John, for our younger audience, I still wanted to play maybe the 6 degrees of separation game, see maybe, I don't know, the remote friendships or connections to explain how you have maybe started in this industry where you were maybe the gardener of Ray Harryhausen and fell in love with animation, or what crazy story. Some people say that you wrote the original Photoshop with your brother. Are you this John Null?
I am this John Null. my start in the industry, I do have a bit of an unusual tale in that I was very interested in cinema as a kid, and in particular, the things I was interested in were when you saw something depicted in a film that obviously could not have been done for real. You know, it was either depicting an event or a place or something that you couldn't go out and shoot. You were looking at imagery that had to have been manufactured in some way. I was fascinated by how this was done. And, you know, this was in the 1970s, before the internet, and there wasn't a lot of information out there. This was even before Cinefax. So the best sources of information were American Cinematographer magazine, Cine Fantastique magazine. Mm-hmm. And there really wasn't a whole lot beyond that. Mm-hmm. Very coincidentally, while I was very interested in all this sort of work, and I would experiment and play, you know, build models, and I did stop motion animation and that kind of thing. I wasn't really thinking of it seriously as a career possibility until about a year after Star Wars came out. My father had a Society of Nuclear Medicine conference in Anaheim, and he brought my brothers and I along to California. And I had read this issue of Cine Fantastique that had interviews with a lot of the folks that had made Star Wars, very detailed interviews. John Dykstra and Richard Edlund and Dennis Muren and Ken Ralston and Graham McCune and, you know, a lot of the folks that worked on the picture had very lengthy and detailed interviews. Mm-hmm. And I memorized that issue. And so I found myself in Anaheim in 1978, and just on a lark, I picked up a phone book and found a listing for Industrial Light and Magic. And I called and I got a hold of Grant McCune, who was the model shop supervisor on Star Wars. Okay. And I said that I was a model maker and I was interested in working in the industry. And he said, well, why don't you come on down and we'll show you around. So the next morning, my dad drove me from Anaheim up to Van Nuys, fairly long drive. I dropped me off first thing in the morning, and I spent the day at ILM. He picked me up at the end of the day after his conference. And so Lauren Peterson toured me around. Uh-huh. And I went to Dailies in the morning. And they were working on the original Battlestar Galactica TV show. So I went to the Dailies in the morning, saw work in progress. Went to the model shop where they were building models for for some upcoming scene that they were working on. Saw them shooting the models on the stage. And that was a really very powerful experience. You know, it's one thing to read about these things in a magazine. It's a very different thing to see it in person. You see people who come into work in the morning and they photograph these models on the stage and they blow things up. And it's a lot easier to imagine yourself being one of those people. I can be one of those guys. I want to be one of these guys. So I walked out of that pretty determined that that's what I wanted to do for a living.
So what keeps you going, John? Because seriously, like, is it not getting all the same, like, from metal to metal, from robot to robot? Sometimes I wonder.
The challenges are big, but they vary per show. And something that's been probably the biggest challenge in the last few years has been not as much about the work, or what the work looks like. And Pacific Rim was a very complex show, had great demands on the creative aspects of it. But probably the hardest part was about creating the work efficiently. So what I found is that in the last few projects, you know, the look of the work, the quality of the execution is kind of taken for granted now, and it's all become about, can we do that level of work now for a lot less money? I mean, the reality of the economy is that that no one wants to pay that anymore, so they want to do this work for much less. And so, you know, a large part of the ingenuity and brain power that has gone into, at least from me on the last couple of shows, has been to try and reinvent process, to try and improve efficiency. So Rango is an example of a project that was a major efficiency initiative. So it was taking the existing ILM production pipeline and trying to use it in the most efficient manner possible. So that was looking at every step in the pipeline, every job that we do, and looking for where the big sources of waste are and seeing if there was a way to restructure how we work to eliminate that waste, to make it more efficient. And that was a very successful process. And fortunately, even though it was an animated feature, none of these efficiency measures that we did on Rango were something that was only applicable to an animated feature. It was everything that we put in place was something that you could apply to more general visual effects work. And so that was kind of adopted facility-wide and has helped the process. And then on Pacific Rim, that we decided to open it up to, all right, now we're looking at tools as well. We're looking, again, at all, you know, sorts of production methodology, topics, but we're also looking at what tools we're using. So this was our first all-katana show. We tried, this is our first all ray trace show. So
yeah, I heard you say you talked about Arnold.
We rendered all of it in Arnold and V-Ray.
Yeah, it's great to hear.
And we did a lot of simulation work in Houdini on the show. This represented the first major show with the Alembic cached pipeline. So there were a lot of these sorts of things where we were trying the experiments. And I'm a strong believer in just trying these things, because there are often arguments about the merits of one technological approach over another, but I feel like it's all a lot of talk until you actually try it and gather some data.
That's great to hear, because Imaginary Forces, that did the end credits for Pacific Rim, and you can find on the net, they talk about they use Cinema 4D just because how fast it goes. And on these shows where you have 3 weeks to deliver the end credits, it's like, it's very hard. But it's interesting to hear ILM is going through this phase also, where you have to improve and try to open up to maybe different tools or products.
Interesting. So I think that's something, you know, we have a long history of doing these sorts of experiments, but maybe Pac Rim was a particularly extreme version of it, where I wanted to try a lot of different things to gather data about where we wanted to go, with the goal of trying to just improve the efficiency of the whole pipeline. And the thought was that if we try 20 experiments, maybe 10 or 15 of them will pay off in one form or another, that we'll, you know, we'll have gathered data, so we'll know, you know, is it are the trade-offs of having the ease of setup and interactive feedback, you know, driving a ray tracer, does that mean that the artists actually end up putting less time into lighting a shot because they can see what they're doing and that they have put less into the setup, so that the longer render times, you know, you come out ahead, or is the computational efficiency that you get out of RenderMan kind of worth the more setup time that goes into it?
And it's very subtle. It's very hard to realize that you are making an economy.
Yeah, you can argue back and forth, but until you actually do it and gather the data, you don't really know.
Yeah, so it seems we don't have time for a lot more. Two more questions. So, anything you want to share that was different on Pac Rim, for example, due to Guillermo's character? Because it's a human story at the end. It's who's the director and how's your relationship?
Oh, Guillermo was fantastic to work with. A big part of making this picture as efficient as it was you know, the direct involvement and commitment on Guillermo's part to putting all the money up on the screen. Mm. You know, it was, as I mentioned before, kind of, we were very budget constrained on the picture. It was, you know, massive project we were trying to do at a pretty low cost. And in order to achieve that, you have to be maximally efficient. You want to make sure that you're not wasting anything and that every dollar is up on the screen. And there are only so many of these efficiency measures that you can do internally. A lot of these things could be undone if the director doesn't cooperate with them. Because we're, like an example, is we tried to schedule the work to be done as efficiently as possible. So we iterate on front-end processes and then back-end processes, you know, lighting simulation, rendering, and compositing. That's really the most expensive and time-consuming part of it. And you don't want to iterate on that. So you want to design the shots and iterate on animation where it's still relatively fluid and inexpensive. Settle on that, really commit to those, and then kind of do those only once. You know, it takes, the director has to buy into that idea and cooperate with that, because if he doesn't, then, you know, he can completely destroy the financial underpinnings of the show. So he was a very committed, friendly, cooperative partner in this. Nice. Really worked with us.
Very aware of that problematic. Well, okay, we gotta wrap up. So, what's your shot number on this? Because I hear you do shots sometimes, John. Is it true? Shows? Did you do a shot on Back Rim?
I did some shots for the first trailer.
You like to do that, being the pipeline still?
Yeah, I got into this because I like doing the hands-on work, and I think it's both fun and useful to be able to dive in and get your hands dirty. You know, in the later phases of the show, I had no time to do any of that, which I regret. You know, it used to be about a decade ago, I tried to always have a shot or two that I would do on any one production. And the shows I've done more recently are so big that there's just not time to do that anymore.
And so Back Rim was about Jaegers and Kaijus and... Have you ever had a shot of Jägermeister? Do you know Jägermeister? No? It's a plant-based alcohol that's getting famous in Europe.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay. I thought it was very funny. Well, thank you for your time, John. Very appreciated. Thank you. That was Pascal and Vincent for the Art of VFX podcast.